I want to greet each one of you this morning in the name of Jesus. Danae, if you're sitting next to Danny there, can you hold his hand for a bit? His hand was on my back and it's cold. Anyhow, grab your song books and go to number 76, the red book. We sang this song a little bit ago, How Great Thou Art. And something really struck me in verse 4. He says, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. Who knows what acclamation means? Honor. That's part of it. It's joining. It's the dictionary says loud and enthusiastic approval, typically to welcome or honor someone or something. So put that into the perspective. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. Let's finish reading the rest of that verse. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And I just had to think to myself, if I expect him to come with a shout of acclamation and I'm not doing what it says in the rest of that verse now, we're still going to bow. But let's be doing that now. Let's bow in humble adoration and let's today proclaim that he is God. That just really struck me. Thank you for going there. I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm sorry, I should have asked for or brought a glass of water. If I could have a glass of water, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've been in 1 Corinthians, and sometimes we find a difficult spot we kind of like to just bypass. But I found as I studied that there's some things in here that Lynn needs to know, that he needs to hear. And I'm guessing it's for all of us. So we're going to work our way through 1 Corinthians 2 this morning, and then also connect another scripture with it. Paul, when he wrote to the different churches, what did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul, when he was writing to the different churches, it seemed he was always writing to them because there was some type of a difficulty. And again, we've talked about that difficulty, that problem that the Corinthians were having. So here we have Paul writing. I'd like to read verse 1 through 5 at the beginning here. Our screen is not up. And my little button is missing. Maybe if you throw it, I can catch it. No, don't try that. Thank you. I've titled my message this morning, Having the Mind of Christ. I'm going to read verse 1 through 5 at the beginning here. If you'd like to follow along, I'd appreciate that. Verse 1 says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. This is Paul talking. He says, this is how I came to you. I didn't come as somebody who was trying to make something of myself. But he says, I came for this reason, to declare unto you the testimony of God. Thank you so much, Danny. To declare unto you the testimony of God. That word testimony is the idea of the mystery. The mystery of God that was hidden for so many years. Thank you. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that was our key verse the last time I shared. Paul's identity with Christ. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. There's some questions as to what Paul was trying to say here. Was he sickly? Did he not feel good? Was it because he had an honor of God that he was there with them? Was it because he was facing a difficult situation? But it says he was with them in weakness, fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, persuasive words, of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How did Paul come to them? What did you catch there? There was humility. Very strong here. And there's something else. He didn't come with words, I would say probably with words that tickled their ears. But he came, verse 4, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want to ask you this morning, can you live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit? No, they're connected. When I become a born-again believer, I have the Holy Spirit within me. They're connected. We cannot separate them. He says here, I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, he has a reason here, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We're going to reflect back onto chapter 1, where he tells them, this is what I've been hearing from you. I've been hearing that you're following Paul. You're following different men. And he's saying here, I don't want you to stand on that. I don't want you to look back at those men and say, this is why I'm preaching. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I want you to rely on the power of God. I want that to come across really strong this morning. That we rely in our Christian walk, we rely on the power of God. Not on man's wisdom, but on the power of God. What is this power? Acts 1:8. See if this guy works. Hey, it does. He says here, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This power that he's talking about here is to be a witness. So the Holy Spirit was giving them power so they could be a witness of Christ. Think back over this past week. Was that reflected in your life and in mine? Maybe it's good for us to think about that a little bit. Did the witness of Christ come through me this week? If I'm filled with the Spirit, it should. There should be something that comes out of us that goes out to those around us. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul has a connection here that he's talking about. There's a Holy Spirit connection here. Romans 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the power that he's giving us, yes, it's to live a holy life, but it's also a power that gives us the strength to share Christ. May it be a shame to us if we're living the Christian life and we don't share Jesus. I don't say that negatively to you. But I say that as something that I need more in my life also. But may it be a shame to us if we try to hide Jesus. Is my silence consent to those who are walking in darkness? If my silence is consent to those who are walking in darkness, there's a day when I'm going to stand before a judge. And if I have not shared, if I've not spoken when I should have spoken, I think there's some responsibility there that we need to think about. Let's go to verse 6. Paul switches just a little bit. He talked here about, I didn't come to you in wisdom. Now he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. He's talking here about those that are mature, those that have been on the journey with Christ. Yet not with wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. That wisdom falls apart. That goes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Again, here he mentions this mystery, talking about the gospel. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, talking here about the rulers, they didn't understand this mystery. They didn't understand the gospel. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Would they have known about this mystery and received it? Do you remember different times when Jesus was talking to his disciples and to those that were with him? He wouldn't give them everything. The disciples got some of it, but he said, some of this stuff I'm not giving out at this point. That was part of the mystery that was being hid. The mystery also, the fact that the Gentiles could come and be a part also. The time was not yet. It did come though. Back to verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now we come to a verse that I have misused across this pulpit. Somebody kindly shared with me, told me, check it out. I think it's misused a lot. I'm going to go back and read verse 8 and connect the two verses, which none of the princes of this world knew. He's talking about the rulers at that time. They didn't know it, because if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, this is out of Isaiah, he says, I hath not seen. So this was the rulers. This is what he's saying about them. Their eyes didn't see. Their ears didn't hear. Neither have entered into their heart, into the heart of man. The heart of man is the rulers of the world. They're the rulers back then. Neither entered have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They could not understand what God was putting in place for those who walk with him. At this point, they did not understand that. God had a plan, even before the creation of the world, to bring salvation to us. Now we come to verse 10. He kind of changes a little bit again. He uses the word but here. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Again, we come back to the Spirit. He says, I have revealed, he said, God has revealed these things, this mystery, the gospel, to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? This is an important verse. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? So he's saying, who can understand? So my wife and I know each other pretty good. There's times we can even finish our sentences. But what's really within me, she honestly can't always tell what's within my mind, what's in my heart. I know that. She doesn't understand that. And I don't understand sometimes things that are going on inside her heart. Same, it's the same with all of us. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? We understand ourselves, even though others can't look in. He says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So now he's saying that the things that of God, human, or I should not say human, we're going to come to this in a little bit, but the natural man cannot understand the things of God. We're going to look at two different types of people here. We're going to look at spiritual and we're going to look at natural. The natural man can't understand that. Well, let's go to verse 12. He doesn't stop there. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So as believers, he has given this to us, that we can understand the mind of Christ. His thinking is way beyond my thinking. We have scripture for that. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we have His Spirit within us, and there is a sense that we can understand what He is thinking. No, we can't see into the mind of Christ. We're not God. But there's a sense that He helps us to understand the mystery, the gospel, things that He wants us to know. Matthew 11:25 says this, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, those who thought they knew it all. Look at the next phrase. He says, and has revealed them unto babes. Now, we're going to be talking about babes in chapter 3, but this is a different babe here. He's revealed them unto those that are growing. When we receive the Spirit within us, we find that there's a revelation that happens. It's not something weird. We've got a lot of weirdness going on in our country today. It's not something weird, but it's there for us to understand how He functions, how He wants us to accept His plan and live life. Luke 10, verse 21, says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Again, very similar. And has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now, I had to ask myself as I looked at this, do I have trust like a child? I see you dads here with little children. Your son or your daughter, your moms too, the moms too. The child reaches out for a hand. They trust. They want to jump off of something. If mom or dad's there to catch them, they trust mom or dad. That's what I had to think about when I read that. How much do I trust God? How much am I willing to take that step when it looks foggy and I can't see if it's a canyon or if it's actually a step? Do I trust God enough to obey Him? And to say, okay, God, I'll take that step, whatever you desire. How much do I trust God? Am I like a child that God can reveal things to me and I can accept them? Okay, we were over in verse 12. I'm going to read that again. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'm not sure where we have come along, how this has all taken place, but over the years, the church has become known for what we don't allow. That's not just the Mennonite thing. That's all over. We've been known for what we don't allow. Look what he says there. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What are we missing? Chris said something this morning about speaking positive. What if we began talking about the church in a positive way? This is what we stand for because it's in the Bible. Instead of, we don't do this or we don't do that. There are places for that. But let's be a church that stands for truth and says, because of the Word of God, this is where I stand. This is what we believe. When others question us, and we have that in front of us, we have an answer. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I struggled with that phrase for a while. What's he talking about? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I came to this conclusion that as we read the scriptures and as we connect to the Holy Spirit and we listen to the Holy Spirit, these things are revealed to us by His Spirit. There's a couple of different meanings to that. That's one of the things that I took. Now he comes to verse 14 and he switches. We've been talking about the man or woman that has the Spirit within him. Now we come to verse 14 and he says, but the natural man. Now he's talking about the one who does not have the Spirit within him. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. The natural man can't get those. He doesn't understand. How many times have you shared with somebody and you found out that they don't really care to hear? There's no interest. You felt like a fool. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ and still share? I think it's important that we do. With a sense of understanding, listening to the Spirit. I missed something in verse 16 that I wanted to share. I'm sorry, verse 12 that I wanted to share. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Looking at verse 12 there, what we've received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's easy for us to compare ourselves with others and get the idea that what I have is better than what they have. Comparing is foolishness. Scripture is very clear on that. So we have the natural man, one without the Spirit of God. He sees the things. He sees the truth of the Spirit as foolishness. And like I said before, they look at us and kind of make us feel dumb sometimes. But it's okay. We have the Word of God. This is what is stated. This is where we can go. Question I have to ask this morning myself, what have I portrayed as spiritual? What have I taken and made spiritual that was not intended to be spiritual? We have a freedom in Christ, and I want to be careful with this freedom. Because the freedom that is taught today is a freedom that I can live in sin and do as I please. That's not true. We have a freedom in Christ that we can live for Christ. It actually says there is no law to that freedom. As I was studying, there's a thought that came to me, and I would feel better if I wouldn't have to share this thought. But I believe God spoke to me, the Spirit spoke to me, and it's something I need to share. I want you to think this morning for a minute. What if every one of us this week made it a point to speak to somebody, and either to come to church and share about that, or bring them to church? Now let's imagine with at least 50% of us brought somebody to church that's not a believer. Some of them are going to smell like smoke. Some of them are going to be tattooed. They might even not be dressed really good. They might be noisy. Would I be willing to put my arms around them and to welcome them back next Sunday? Or would I elevate myself just a notch higher and hope it's the last Sunday they show up? We have the Spirit within us. We have the answer. It's in this book. But unless we're willing to walk that out, it's just a book. Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, always, even unto the end of the world." He says there, go. Now that go might be going across the ocean, or it might be staying right here. But it's go. It is to share the gospel. Acts 1:8. I'm sorry, I moved ahead too far there. Maybe I didn't put that in here. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Remember that power is to share, to witness. "And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," that's at home, "Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." How can I, as a born-again believer, who has Jesus, the Holy Spirit within me, be quiet when I have opportunity to share? Verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And that's where I got my title from. We have the mind of Christ. It is absolutely nothing that I did, other than saying yes, for him to come in and cleanse me, and to say, "I'm giving you my Spirit. And because I've given you my Spirit, you can understand what Christ desires of you, the gospel, and how you are to live life." I'd like for us to turn to Matthew 13, and I'll try to move through this quickly. Matthew chapter 13. We have here the story of the different soils, the man that was sowing, and the different soils. And as Jesus was talking to the disciples and to the crowd that was with him, he began to share with them about four different soils. And I think we'll skip the first part where he's telling them all about it. He goes in verse 18 of Matthew 13. He explains this parable to them. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside," that he had stated in the earlier part here. That's the one that receives seed by the wayside or on the path. There's a sense in which the gospel is hidden to those who don't believe. My question that came to me as I looked at that, is there a possibility? Is there a possibility that I had opportunity to share with somebody and they did not have an opportunity to believe? They didn't have an opportunity to choose. It's God's will that all come to repentance. Let's go to the next one, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and in honor quickly, soon with joy receiveth it. So here we have some that heard the word, they quickly take the word, they receive the gospel to a degree. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. So now we have one that the gospel was there, but there was no depth there. And when he faced difficulties, he didn't remain strong. Then we have the next one in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So this one here received the word, and I think it began to grow. But now we have busyness, we have wealth, we have cares, all producing unfruitfulness. He's losing out because everything is around him, suffocating. Number four, the fourth one. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And I realize there's a lot of different explanations for this scripture here. But this one here talks about the person that has the Spirit within him, that is growing, and there's fruit, and it's reproducing. The mind of Christ. I want to read Galatians 5 to you. I actually have it on the overhead here. And I want us to think about this. And I'm not doing this morning for you to feel like, wow, I'm a loser. Not at all. But I want this to be an encouragement to us. These are the fruits that he's talking about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Just think about these things in your own personal life. Don't look at the neighbor next to you. But think about these things in your own personal life. Do I have the fruit of love? What about joy? When people see you throughout the week, is there a sense of joy? I remember, I think I shared this here before, but I remember a day when I met a man that I had no idea who he was. And I'm not going to mention his name here this morning. He's not from here. He's from Sturgis. Had no idea who he was, but there was something about that man that just spilled some goodness over towards me, to those that were around him. There was something in his eyes that were just, it was just good. And I was convinced that this was a believer. There was a joy around him. And I found out later where he belongs here in Sturgis. And he's a godly man. Peace. Do I have a peace in my heart that affects those around me, affects myself? Long-suffering. Ooh. I want things my way and I want them now. Maybe that's not the exact meaning. But am I willing to work with those around me, even if it's not the way that I want it? Gentleness. Is there a sense of gentleness about me? goodness, again realizing that any goodness we have, any of these, is from God. How about faith, trust? Meekness. Paul was a man who was meek. We heard humility back here. They tie closely together. Meekness. Meekness means that I have a power that comes from on high, but it's controlled. That's meekness. Temperance. And he says, against such there is no law. We can play all of these fruits out as much as we want to. And by the way, I don't think that these fruits, that we only get a few. I believe we get them all. As we continue our walk with Christ, I think these should be a part of our life, every one of them. We all are growing. We're all on a journey. There's different things we're working on. But I believe as we continue our life, our walk with Christ, all of these should be seen in our life. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a picture of action. It's not a picture of us getting on a bicycle and beginning our journey and coasting. It's action. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's have the Spirit active within us. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I think that has the idea of, if you have these gifts, don't think you're somebody. Don't raise yourself up. Vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Wish these gifts for your brothers and sisters. We have the mind of Christ. Thank you so much for listening this morning. I appreciate your attentiveness. I know sometimes us preachers get a little bit long-winded. So thank you. Would you stand with me as we pray? Thank you, God, for sending your Son to give his life, the mystery that they didn't understand for so long, that we now understand, that we have so clear. I pray, Lord, for each one that's here this morning. I pray that you would draw us close to yourself. Lord, that we would be able to hear from you with ears that are open and desiring to know you, to hear from you. I pray, Lord, that the gospel would not be something that we have in our heads, but that it would reach our hearts and that we would be changed. And Father, that we wouldn't be silent, but we'd be willing to share your love with those around us. You've given us so much. We just want to bless you for that. I pray a blessing on our congregation here this morning, Lord, that you would continue to lead us, that you would continue to give us direction, and Lord, that we would have a desire, a heart to glorify you. Lord, when you return to call us home, that we would be ready to meet you. We just bless your precious name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Believer.